Hey everyone, my name is Allie Lasher, and I'm so excited to be talking about the MTV Are You the One Season 5. I will one day get better at opening up the show. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I hate this. I am joined by my giggly co-host. I'm so excited to welcome him on, the first loser of the So You Think You Can podcast competition. But I, as always, am the real winner here because I get to talk to him now. Adam Bongiovanni, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having... Is this like the runner-up podcast, like where all the losers go? Or am I going to just be the first of many losers to be on this podcast?
No, because like, that would imply that I'm also a loser.
Paul from Big Brother. As I say that all the losers ever in reality TV show history leave my mind, so Paul is the only one that I've come up with.
We have had Eric Stein on the show, on the challenge, so he was a loser.
Yes, technically. Like, if he was... Was he fifth place? Fifth place loser? So yeah. I did a little better than him in my show.
We've had some Are You the One people on. I think by virtue, they're probably losers. I'm probably a loser because I have a podcast about a show about losers. So
we're all
in good company.
Here.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Exactly.
Okay, so I am so excited to have you on. I want to hear a bit about you. But first, I just want to update the audience here. A lot has changed. I don't know if anyone's noticed. We didn't do an intro show. That has changed. We also have a new co-host. No worries. Brian is alive and well. He just didn't feel like talking about Are You the One this season. What else? Scheduling. The thing is, I didn't want to drop this show. We could have just not done an Are You the One podcast. But I feel like you guys, the listeners of this podcast, are like squad. Like, it's a smaller audience. I told Adam before we got on, we are like just the drunk aunt of RHAP, just like who the hell knows what's happening. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We probably will just be doing this podcast, a midway point show and a finale, but who knows? We might get reckless.
The drunk aunt, you never know what she's up to. And I appreciate you doing this podcast because after I wasn't a part of the LFC, like this now gives me purpose to live. So I appreciate it.
Yes, that's why I am life support. Just giving people life left and right.
Are You the One is life support. Somehow, some way, they're saving lives.
Okay, I didn't think it could get more depressing than my bumbling intro, but I'm thoroughly depressed. Okay, so here you are. I want to know what got you into Are You the One? Who are you? Like, who am I talking to? I don't even know you.
Okay, so let's go back into the early 90s when The Real World started and I was a mere baby. My dad actually watched The Real World since the beginning and he hates everyone. Every season comes on, he'll be like, I hate that person, I hate all of these people. But he continues to watch year after year. I feel like he's the epitome of what a Real World fan is. You hate everyone, but you keep watching. So I started watching The Real World and The Challenge about 5 years back with him. I think Las Vegas, not last year, Las Vegas, 5 years ago, Las Vegas was my first Real World season. And then as time progressed, The Challenge became a big part of my life. And of course, Johnny Bananas, sadly, is a big part of my life. And then
To pause you right there. Yes. What does that mean that he's a big part of your life?
Because he's on every season. Like, I don't like him. Like, I don't want people to get the wrong idea and think I like Johnny Bananas, but he's on every season. So I see him at least either 1 to 2 times a year on my TV for like 10 weeks. So I feel like he's a bigger part of my life. I see him more than most family members, you know? So I started watching the Challenge, and then Are You the One people started coming on the Challenge. So season 4, I was like, gotta watch this show so I know more about reality TV because I have no life. And then I went back, watched all the other seasons, and now I'm a full-fledged fan of Are You the One.
Boom. Yeah. This is just like, if anyone out there thinks they're special, like someone's coming up in the business is going to come for you. This is like, I could be replaced at any second by someone who's just been feeding and living off this MTV stuff. I have a question from Twitter for you from Kat. Would you ever consider going on Are You the One?
No. First of all, I feel like I'm not pretty enough. Like I'm 5'8", so I'm not tall enough. I feel like everyone's like 6'3" and above. And two, I feel like I'm doing okay in with my love life right now. Like, I don't want to mess things up. Like, I feel like if you go on Are You the One, it's pretty much either A for fame or B for fame. So like, I don't really want that. So like, I don't think there's no chance I'd ever go on Are You the One.
You also are like low-key, high-key famous anyway, so
no, I'm a big loser. No, I everything, like, according to the So You Think You're podcast fans, I bought all my followers, and that's the truth. That's all I did. I paid for every single one of them, and I'll stand by that statement.
I'm crying right now. I'm a big loser. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know me, because they're just joining us because Adam's doing something, like, I lost my phone and then I found it a second ago. Like, that's
nice. That's honestly, congratulations. Are you guys a perfect match?
My phone? Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to the truth booth. We'll see.
V Dark. All right. So let's jump into why we're here. Who even knows why we're here? But big things happen. The one thing I want to say is, like, I joke, we're the drunk aunt, Are You the One, whatever. MTV is taking Are You the One seriously. First of all, everywhere I looked, I wasn't even looking for it. There was advertising. There was a Snapchat filter.
Yes.
Like, they were putting Are You the One. They're like putting their money where their mouth is here with Are You the One.
Yep. There's a lot going on. And I feel like, because as the Real World ratings go down and down and down, Are You the One is like their new favorite child. It's like the newborn child that everyone's giving attention to.
Yeah. And they really did a lot of, I don't want to say plastic surgery on a newborn child, but they've given it a bit of a lift here. I want to get your opinion on this. So the first big thing we find out about is there are going to be 11 girls, not just the 11th girl, 11 women and 11 men also this time. What a marvel, novel idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess there had to be some reason for it. Like, with casting, I feel like there was probably some little thing where, like, okay, we promised these four people they all be on the show. Let's all just put them on the show. Like, I don't know. What's the difference between 11 and 10? Like, does it make it easier? Does it make it more difficult? I don't know. Odds, all that kind of math stuff. I don't know. You tell me what you think. It doesn't really change my opinion on the show.
I have a close personal friend during the Are You the One season called the Are You the One Math Blog that I cheat with. So the brilliant mind behind Are You the One Math says that it's 11 times harder. There are 11 times more matches. And... although it looked like on his chart, he charts like how the trajectory of how they're doing against all the other seasons. And it seems like they're starting with the same number of possibilities as when Christina was the 11th girl. But I'm also V math dumb. So who knows? I think it's definitely going to be harder because there's more possibilities. They get less. They don't get 11 truth booths, right? They still only get 10 and matchup ceremonies. 10.
It doesn't change the trajectory of the show, like the scheduling. So it's if you want to go with the odds, it would probably be more difficult. I'm actually on Are You the One Math right now. So, like, I'm really excited. I'm reading all of this. It's a new world for me.
Just to everyone who's just getting into Are You the One Math also, be careful, because as it goes on, it will start telling you, like, the probabilities of who's a match. But for now, like, this is the perfect time to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. So Nick Fishman wants to know, is this fair? More people, but with this exact same number of rounds and money at stake. Should they be getting more money because it's more difficult?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's a good idea. And I will get into that twist later, I'm sure. And but, like, I feel like is it fair is a very interesting question, especially for MTV shows. Like, it was let's go back to him. Is bringing Johnny Bananas on 8 seasons in a row fair? is putting all of his friends in a house with him fair? Like, no. And there's nothing about reality TV is really fair. It's really what's going to get the best ratings. And that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah, very true. The other thing is, like, I mean, they're getting an all expenses paid trip to Costa Rica. Yeah. They're like 21 to 26. Who cares? And if they make like 22 grand out of it, amazing. Like, I don't think more money would make people want to go on the show.
No, you're right. Like, it is really almost the perfect show. Like, because of course there's stress and there's drama with finding your match or whatever. But let's be real. Most of these Instagram models are on this show because they want to get exposure and they want people to see who they are. So, and they're getting paid to do it. So, like, If I was on that show and for those reasons, I wouldn't be complaining.
Yeah, exactly. Another question we got, and this was actually, I guess, Mel, who's Mel Got Served on Twitter, and I share a brain because we had the same sort of reaction. She said, do you think they upped the cast to 11 couples to make it harder to win money?
Well, actually, that is, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. Because they've given out a pretty big sum of money every season. Of course, MTV is worth a lot more than the few million they're giving away. But the ratings aren't crazy, so maybe they are trying to save a little cash and save it up for a big Are You the One, the challenge spinoff that we're going to see soon, so who knows.
I also just always, you know, on this show we speculate all the time of, like, what is the goal? Does MTV or the producers behind the show ever not care and they have, like, a perfectly fine ending for if they don't get the money as much as the four we've seen where they do get the money, spoiler alert. And I don't know, we've never seen what would happen. And I don't know if they're just like coming in hot this season to try to give us the best chance of like thinking there's still a possibility they won't get the money. Because after four seasons, I mean, I'm starting to think they're going to get the money every time. And yeah. I don't even care if they get the money every time. That's not really why I'm watching the show.
No, exactly.
But a lot of these twists that we'll get into later kind of do make it seem like they're trying to make it, if not impossible to make the money, at least more difficult.
You know, I think it'd be like, as for me, at least, like, I'd really enjoy like a final episode where they get like eight matches or in this case, nine matches and the last two are off. I think that'd be awesome. Like, I'm not, like I said, like you said, I'm not here to see them win the money. That doesn't really change my outlook on the show if they win the money or not. But I feel like if we're going to like go into detail, like there are casual viewers out there who might stop tuning in if they win every single year and it's the same ending. Cause like in a show like Big Brother Survivor, yes, so someone's going to win at the end, but you don't know who's going to win. This is either they win or they don't. So if it's too predictable, people might stop watching.
I love using the term casuals to describe Are You The One fans. Like, are there non-casuals? I guess us, but
we are the minority here.
I even consider myself a casual of Are You The One. And I love that everybody, that's why I said like the listeners of this podcast are just like squad. Like they get it. We're all here to just have fun. So I don't know. I would like to talk to an Are You The One super fan, especially because I don't even consider myself one.
There's got to be some out there. I'm sure if we're just going, we're free balling here. I'm sure that we could get one on the podcast and be like, okay, who's the biggest super fan? Tell us what you think about everything.
Be careful what you wish for. You're about to get tweets.
Yes, I'm excited for them.
Okay, the next thing I want to talk to you about is this parents' choice. Anyone who listens to the show knows that I get so flippin' excited when the parents get involved in Are You The One? And I was overjoyed to see parent involvement, and then I was a little bit let down. So what did you think of this?
I think like it would have been more fun. Like I know like last season they brought in they had the moms do videos. I feel like it'd been fun to see a little reasoning behind it. And maybe it would have brought more weight to the decision. Like we saw Gianna, like after like 7.5 minutes, she was already like checking out on Hayden. So I think like I enjoy it, but I think they could have done a little more with it.
I agree. Like the other thing is why only three couples do we hear about? Like we only hear one parent from each of the three couples, and then all of a sudden they're on a date. It's like, could you be more obvious? Like, I don't know. Clearly the producers pick these couples because they are a match or they're not a match, or these are the personalities they want to put forward or they're not, or they only talk to three parents. I mean, what the hell, MTV? Like, show me the parents. I totally agree. If they had videos playing, like, let there be a competition where then the winner's mom sets them up with someone, something like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's like, it's almost like they're, it's so weird how they randomly choose these people every year. And like, and I know they do it differently each season, but they're like, okay, we're going to show you three couples and we're not going to tell you why we didn't talk to any of the other parents or if we did. Like, it's like they're leaving this whole blank page out of the book that like would explain a whole lot.
The other thing that was amazing is he's like, we sent your parents detailed bios. Where are these detailed bios? I would love to see them because the bios, and we'll cover some of the bios.
Oh, we have to.
Where the hell are these detailed bios? Like the MTV intern was working overtime.
It was like that same intern that works like that does the Survivor like quizzes on Facebook, and you'll see and it'll be like this Survivor hottie was on two seasons, and it'll be like someone that played in like 2004 once. Like I feel like it's the same intern doing this.
Yes, exactly. All right, so we do get to see Joey, who has a special place in my heart already because he's another MTV garbage man, bringing me right back to Leroy, whom I love. What did you think of Joey?
Okay, I'm just gonna ask. Do you watch The Real World as well? Like, I know you do, but I just want to make sure that you've seen. Did you catch like this past season?
I did watch this season.
Okay.
Of The Real World.
He reminds me of a big Maserati. Like they look similar, and it's like you take Robbie from The Road and just like expanded him. And honestly, like Joey is one of my few. Like I'm taking after my dad here. I hate most of these people, but I thought Joey has a really good demeanor. He seems like a nice guy. I think his fashion is absolutely terrible. He's wearing these awful sunglasses, but like I respect that because that shows maybe he's not that much of a douche. So honestly, I'm buying Joey. I think he's gonna be. And he said he doesn't cheat, which is like crazy for someone on one of these shows that they haven't like cheated on their significant other. It's really impressive, which is so sad. But I'm all about Joey. What about you?
I love your optimism that Oakley's and a gold watch that you spend all your money on is not douchebag quality.
I'm joking. Compared to the other people, and are you the one, like, Edward was wearing a shirt that really wasn't even a shirt. It was like you could see through it. So, like, I'm giving him
the mesh shirt. We will talk about the mesh shirt.
We have to. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here.
You know who you reminded me of? I don't know if you ever watched I Love New York on VH1.
But, very, very, like one or two episodes. I didn't see too much of it.
So there was a guy who got on all these like spinoff shows after it, Frank the Entertainer. And he was notorious for like, I live in my parents' basement and I'm 40 years old, like whatever, that kind of guy. And he was just like Joey to me. Like that was exactly, I was like, oh my God, it's a young Frank the Entertainer.
I'm looking at pictures of him now. So I could completely see where you're going with that.
Mike Bloom wants to know, if you were in a Joey situation and spent the last of your money on one object, what would it be?
Oh my God. I would say a TV so I could watch Are You the One over and over because I have no life.
Wow.
How about you?
I was going to say I would loan it to you for like some therapy or something.
Thanks. I appreciate it. After losing So You Think Your Podcast, I needed lots of therapy. And Rob made sure to give me a stipend for that. So I appreciate it.
I'm dying. You know, that's a great question from Mike Bloom. I love when Mike writes questions like this. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, probably honestly, like a TV or computer or something. Like I'm a loser too in front of a microphone. In basically a dorm room, and I'm going to be 26 years old. So
nice. Well, we're in the same boat though, so we're good. We're both losers podcasting about a bunch of losers. I think it's perfect.
What did you make of these women had these crazy reactions. Ashley Bedazowicz pointed out, do these girls this season seem way less open-minded? It seems like a few of them came in with a type and have zero desire to actually try to find anyone different. Carolina's reaction to Joey, I mean, talk about a bad first impression. I don't judge a book by its cover, so I'll give him a chance.
Yeah, it's. I feel like a lot of these girls, like, and I keep forgetting, that was her name Hannah, the other one on the date? Like, there's so many people right now. Yeah. I forget. Okay. And she was being so rude with, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Osvaldo. Could you please help me with this?
I'm just enjoying. I feel like I'm listening to the podcast. Osvaldo, I think.
Osvaldo. She was really mean with him too, and I understand like not everyone's your type. But, like these girls, like you're right. They come in with a specific type, and of course as time goes on, that'll all go out the window. But it is very hard to like someone when they come across as that rude. Do they realize that they're like on TV? Like you should just be like, I love everyone. I'm really nice. Like Catherine, she's just hanging out with everyone. And like I just feel like we should all take her approach and be nice to everyone.
I don't know if Ozzy thought she was that nice, but Carolina, then she also said about Joey later, I wish he had more muscles and less hair, like to his face.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, what's the harm in just at least pretending that you're happy with the person your parents picked?
No.
But then I looked at her bio and she is from Sao Paulo, Brazil. And so I'm willing to give her like some sort of a, like, I know people in America are like super uptight, including myself, of like what you say to people and people in the rest of the world, especially South America, don't mind just like telling you how it is. So Carolina started to grow on me through the episode, as did like Joey grew on her.
Oh yeah, he grew. But do you think that, okay, she said he doesn't have big enough muscles. I'm really, really confused because I thought he was like a pretty fit person. Like I'm like, what more does she want? Like I understand that he's not crazy jacked, but like I was like, okay, if she would want a guy with more muscles, I don't know where I would even come into the equation in this situation. Like I'm like, geez, like he has like an APAC and he has his Oakleys on. Like what more does she really want?
Oh my God, the Oakleys. Yeah, I'm willing to bet that she may have just been distracted by the necklace, the hair, the Oakleys, and all of that, and didn't actually see the muscles beyond.
Yes, no, and I'm sure he's been a DJ at some point in his life, so that also probably distracted her.
But the person I'm less willing to forgive here for her rudeness, and you brought her up, is Hannah. We didn't see much of Hannah and Osvaldo.
Yes.
But she also said, like, he's not someone I'd go for physically, which was heartbreaking.
Yeah, no, he's like, I don't get it. Like, they're all good looking people. Like, what? I understand that if somebody's not your type, or he's not tall enough, or his muscles aren't big enough, or whatever it may be. But like, how could you go into this situation and you know what the show is about, and not at least give someone one date? Like, it boggles my mind. And I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking like that everyone is shallow and I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I at least wouldn't want to come across as that shallow my first impression to America.
Yeah, no, exactly. Although, like, I wouldn't want my first impression to America to be Are You the One?
Very true. Very true. No, good point.
Gianna and Hayden, we're going to have a lot. Or Gianna and Hayden? God. Gianna.
Yeah, it's Gianna. Okay. Yeah, whatever.
So we're going to have a lot to say about them. She did have the reaction that we wanted to see, although it led to kind of being a leading him on situation. So yeah. Is there a happy medium, or should everyone have just taken the Gianna approach?
I think, like, maybe, like you said, we're in America where we get offended too easily, and like I feel bad for these people. But like, I guess the approach should be just to speak your mind and say what you want to say, even if America thinks you're an idiot. Because look at Gianna now, though. She started off really nice, and our expectations were high. And as the show went on, they just started getting lower and lower. And by the end, she really dug herself this big hole. It's going to be tough to get out of. So, and we're not talking about the other two at the end as much, because Gianna made such this big bombshell. And I'm sure we'll get to it later. So I don't know. I think it's good to be yourself. But also, you got to, if you want to be on shows in the future, I guess, like, because that's what I'm sure a lot of these people, I want to be on The Challenge, or either one spinoff show, whatever it may be. I'm going to be a big jerk. I'm going to say what I want. So I guess there's no real right or wrong here. It's just say what you want to say and we'll judge you for it.
I love that. I'm going to get that tattooed next to my corn on the cob tattoo.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because why wouldn't you have a corn on the cob tattoo next to your Indiana logo, or what is it? The Indiana sign? Something like that. I don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up. On the date, just jumping ahead for a second.
Yeah.
Gianna says, like, is that New York or New Jersey? Didn't she say that? And he goes, it's Indiana.
Yes.
Did I misunderstand that?
No, I heard the same thing. So if we both might have misinterpreted, then it's on both of us, and we need to get someone else in the podcast who could help us out. But I really think she said that. And oh my God, born and bred in New Jersey, it is a very different place than New York. We are New York's armpit.
I agree with that, but like, I'm just thinking of like state shapes, and to think that New York, New Jersey, and Indiana are all like
Indiana, though. Like, I have to see what it looks like. I'm like the shape. Like, I know what Indiana is. I just need to. Oh yeah, I could see how Jersey and Indiana are similar in a bit. Like, maybe. Like,
no New Jerseyan would say that. No New Jerseyan would say that.
Maybe.
Get the hell out.
Maybe I'm not even from New Jersey then. Maybe I'm not. I have to talk to my parents.
Nick Fishman wants to know, if you could design a new way to make initial pairs for the first episode, like the love at first sight matchup or parents matchmakers, what would you like to do?
Okay, I would blindfold all of them. Put them in like a chicken coop and just have them all run at each other. And I don't care who the first person you grasp hands with is the person you could potentially go on a date with. I don't care if it's two guys, three girls, like whatever it is, you have to go on a date with the people you reach first. That's what I would do. I would make it ridiculous and crazy, but I know MTV's, they want to control things, so they would never go over my beautiful idea.
Okay, that's absolute insanity, and I love it, and I would watch it in a second. Yes. Where I thought you were going, just when you immediately said I would blindfold them, and then I was like, oh, I love this. I thought you meant like a blind speed dating kind of thing, where like unseen, all they'd be able to do is talk to each other or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3 minute speed round, and then they each pick someone or whatever. Like something, then you win a challenge to pick someone sight unseen.
That's perfect. But except Carolina and Hannah would not be pleased if they got Joey and Osvaldo. Whatever, though. I can't say his name.
Even call him Ozzy, because there is an Ozzy on the show. Like, what?
They really screwed us up, right? I feel like they did this on purpose.
So I don't have a problem really with the parent matchmaker or even the love at first sight. I just want there to be a justification for why the three people who get picked.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's if the parent thing would have been great if there was more to it. It's just we didn't get enough of it.
The other thing that's strange is why they don't make this a regular episode. I understand they maybe have to build in more time so you can start getting to know people. But I had two bros from law school sit down and watch this with me for the first time yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they had no clue what was going on. I first said like, oh, I know how it's so annoying because Ryan always explains it all the time. So I won't explain and I'll just let Ryan explain it to you. And when the truth booth came up, one of them turned to me and was like, what is this? You know, they didn't even do what they needed to do in the first episode, which is explain the format of the show.
No, you're right. I didn't even like think about that. Like, I remember watching it for the first time in season four. And I remember not fully grasping everything that was going on. But then as the Ryan really, he's the type of host, I feel like, that doesn't, he weighs in, of course, like in the matching ceremony, but he really lets the audience know what is going on and like sets it up. And he didn't do that this time, I guess. Especially for the truth booth, he was more focused on that, like the trade that
right.
they offered them. So maybe that's why. But for any new people watching, it definitely would be a little difficult to kind of follow along, especially if you haven't seen another episode before.
Speaking of Ryan, were you getting any Probst vibes from the first shot where he's in like the blue button down
yes.
on the beach?
Oh my God, I love it. And also I want to comment, I give Ryan a lot of credit. His hair has really come a long way since season one. Like just frequently watching season one. And then now he's done a good job. I feel like it'd be a really cool twist to have let's say do the 11th girl again. And then one of them be Ryan's match and nobody realizes until the last episode. And he comes up to them and tells them, I don't know, MTV should be right. Writing our notes down.
That's incredible. I co-signed that completely.
Yes.
So before, I feel like a couple early couples emerged, but we got these little brief snapshots of Jalen, Cassandra, Mike, a couple of people. So anyone that wasn't, you know, a huge standout in the episode, but stood out to you either from pre-show stuff you looked at or, you know, minor parts of the episode?
Honestly, like it's the thing with Are You the One that's so different from any other show is yeah, there's pre-show bios and these little videos that they were airing, but like there's not much you could, for me at least, that I could base off of if I'll like them or not. Like it's usually what happens during the season. I'm going through my notes now and I really like a lot of the guys talked about Taylor, but we didn't see much from her. Like everyone's like, oh, she's so pretty, but we didn't see much from her. So I'm expecting her to maybe break a few hearts in the process. We didn't see a lot from Derek minus the strategy thing. And I'm sure we'll get to that when we talk about the trade, but I think, I don't know. I like when players come into this and they're thinking more with their head and not with their heart. I think it's impressive and it sets them up to be on eight of the spinoff shows. So I want to see more what Derek has to offer in the process of all of this.
Yeah. The thing about Taylor, I totally agree. We didn't got the same vibe about Taylor. I will say she has one of my favorite lines ever from a bio in the history of MTV bios, which is Taylor is a beautiful and sweet teacher's aide who can chug a beer with the best of them.
Oh my God. Like, what is that? Like, honestly, what is that telling us though? Like, if you look at it, like, what are we really learning about Taylor that she could chug a beer besides the fact that she's a teacher's aide?
I mean, I just thought the juxtaposition of like, she's like the best teacher in the world. Example, she's chugging beers with the best of them. Like,
oh, there's, just, like, there's incredible. There's fantastic bios all online. Like, I'm on this other website that's not even MTV. And here it is. It's Andre, an aspiring rapper with trust issues. Andre will have to put his heart on the line to find his perfect match. Isn't that how Drake got famous? He was in a rapper with trust issues. So like, I feel like we have to give some of these guys, like, he may find his fame after Are You the One, just like Drake did.
He's about to blow up. This is like his Degrassi.
Exactly. Let's hope he doesn't get shot though.
The person who really stood out to me from the videos, and people were making fun of this, but I loved this. Like last year when they have all these like little clips that go out over the internet, I had to go through like Twitter to find when MTV put all these out. This year they did like an Are You the One preview, which was just like the 30-second clips back to back to back for 5 minutes. Yeah. I appreciate the ease and convenience of that. My DVR picked it up, like couldn't have made it easier for me. And I thought Jalen, to me, really stood out from that. He had some funny lines peppered in this episode. Didn't see much of him.
Yeah.
But he just came across to me as very funny, very good guy, good looking. My one issue is, like, all of these guys' bios, typical Are You the One fashion, they're all guys who were overweight or uncool or nerdy or shrimpy in high school or in middle school. And now they're these like Adonises. But we're supposed to feel bad. It's like the whole Ken story. Like, don't judge a book by its cover, but in the other way.
Exactly.
And I hate that trope. Like, that is like one of my least favorite reality TV and real life personality things, which is like, oh, I'm going to treat girls bad, but like I've been treated badly. So, you know, I was like chubby in sixth grade.
It's ridiculous. Like, I want to comment on Ozzy real quick because like this is the perfect person to come to mind. He's a self-proclaimed serial cheater. and is a soccer star with a history of multiple long-distance relationships, and he admitted last night that he's never been faithful. I'm like, why are we rewarding this douchebag? Like, he's admitted to cheating on every girl. So, you know what? This is a good place. Let's put him in a house and hope he'll find love with 10 other really – or 11 other really pretty girls, because I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Like, it's, I understand why they would cast him, but it's so annoying. It's like, okay. Like, it feels like if you find the one guy that doesn't cheat in this house, you're like, wow, he's a great guy. And he could be terrible, but just because he didn't cheat, we all assume he's great because every other guy has cheated.
Honestly, when he said that, my thought was like he kind of excused Catherine for that, and I kind of was like, I had the same reaction of you, like, wow, like just so upfront, like batting 1,000 here. I've never been faithful. The friends I was with was like, never been. Did he just say he's never been faithful? Usually, never. You'd want to say the Joey thing, like I've only ever been faithful.
Oh my god!
But I also kind of was like, just because you've never been faithful doesn't mean you need to take like somebody having sex with someone else in front of you. Like that doesn't. You don't need to kind of like beat yourself over the head at every step. But I had a really awkward, embarrassing moment today in class because I overheard somebody saying, one of my friends saying, "Oh, there's like 11 guys and 11 girls," and I whipped my head around, like. Are you talking about Are You the One? Do you watch Are You the One? And they're like, she was like, or I said, are you talking about Are You the One? Not do you watch?
Yeah.
She said, yes. I said, my podcast is about Are You the One. And she goes, oh, like this guy I knew from high school is on it. Like, I don't watch it. And I think it's stupid. And I was like, oh, yes. Oh, same. God. Definitely same.
Yeah. Me too. They're all from my high school and I'm just watching for them. Not because I have nothing better to do with my life.
And it was Ozzy. So I was like, oh.
Oh, wow. Good times. My God. Oh, God. And Ozzy, but wait, they said he was from, like, I forgot where, but somewhere, like, wasn't he from somewhere else? Like.
Yeah, he's from, I think, also south of us, but it did say that he, like, moved to America with his dad.
Okay, and that he wore, like, 3 hats this episode, so, like, that's also sticking out of my mind. I'm not a big fan of those Pharrell hats. So, like,
oh, my God.
I'm just picking apart these people with their fashion sense. And, okay, I was also thinking about this, and you might know this better than I do. Do they have a wardrobe there? Like, do they have, like all these different, because like, they all wear black to the matching ceremonies. Do they give them that, or do they bring all of that?
No, they're definitely wearing either each other's clothes or their own clothes. Okay. Okay. But I love when we get to the matchup ceremony, my notes are like, I love a coordinated outfit matchup ceremony. Sometimes this is the first time I think I've seen it where the guys and girls both do it, but I have noticed sometimes they'll be in the same color family.
Yeah. Yep. The girls did it a lot last year. Remember that?
One other thing that jumped out before we get to like the meat of this episode, you know, your boy and mine, Mike from Staten Island,
oh my God,
the off-brand Jersey Shore heat, haircut, eyebrows, and tan.
I guess they said it was so like removed from the Jersey Shore and GTL that they're like, we could throw this in there and nobody's going to remember. And it's like, you really just switched up the letters and added some things and you get heat, which I've never heard ever in my life before.
Also, nobody usually has, like, the A in the acronym be and. It should be, like, HET. Haircut, eyebrows, tan. It wasn't GTAL.
No, do you think
Gym, tan, and laundry.
Yeah, do you think they thought of that on the spot, like, or they told him to say, like, I don't think that's an actual thing. Even as awful as Mike was this episode, I really don't see that. I don't think heat was an actual thing. I feel like it was the producers, like, this is going to be a hit. Say heat. And, like, he went with it.
See, I totally believe that he said that. That he was like, it's heat, haircut, eyebrows, and tan. Boom, and did tan. It. And then he says, like, he's not like or he doesn't want to be like a typical Staten Island guy, but he's fist bumping, coining phrases that involve getting your eyebrows done, bragging about it as being his birthday. I was like, just own it, embrace it. You are a typical Staten Island guy, Mike.
I feel like every Staten Island or New York or probably Staten Island and Jersey person they've ever gotten on these shows is exactly the same like person all like and because Mike already reminds me of Mike from season 3 and last season of The Real World. Like he's very similar, like he has that demeanor about him, and like not everyone from Staten Island's like that. Like my cousin like he's from Staten Island, he grew up in Staten Island, he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and he's like into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I want to let everyone know that Staten Island, yes, it comes across awful on TV, but not everyone's that bad from Staten Island.
I don't see anything about drinking or smoking and haircut, eyebrows, and tan.
Does
your cousin do haircut, eyebrows, and tan?
I don't think he's gotten a haircut in like the last 5 years. Like, it's really long. And like, I don't want to ask him because honestly, he's one of those cousins that I really don't talk to just because like we don't have much in common. Because I'm obviously like a Jersey guy with all of the same qualities as Mike. I'm jacked. I love heat. I love the heat. Like, I'm just all about that. So I wouldn't know.
Eyebrows on fleek.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All the time.
So, all right. Speaking of Ozzy and Catherine, let's dissect this little love triangle that happened with, I don't know why I keep wanting to call him like our boy Mike, as though we have some, like, just like your boy Mike, like, you know. So Catherine first gives us this disclaimer that she like gets too into her feelings and she's trying to meet your mom at the bar. Has anyone tried to meet your parents when you talk to them at a bar?
Oh, no, I've
that's not normal.
No, I don't. Honestly, like, I feel like for Are You the One people, it probably is normal, like, because it's either they're one extreme or the other. But like, for most people, I would say it's abnormal.
I thought that she came off completely insane, and then it just gets worse. And on the after show, which we'll talk about with Terrence J, whom I love, I was so excited to see him. The like medical specialist or relationship specialist they brought in was like, Mike. Ozzy was great because he didn't slut shame her. Like, I am not slut shaming Catherine. The sex she had is the least egregious thing to me about her. I'm shaming everything but that.
No, it's I feel like Catherine, every time she talked, it was like she was like talking at a bar. Like, she would just yell and like get really excited, and it felt like she had three drinks in her, even though she might have actually. Like, I can't even say she probably
She was for sure wasted.
She was
like
90%
waste
of
face.
The episode, yeah. So it just, she just came across as like way too much. And but apparently, even after sleeping with Mike, and in her bio it said she hasn't got a guy to like that she's down with or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, like, they really set up this first episode because she really got a guy to go down in the first episode. But I don't know. I just like, I give Ozzy credit for saying, okay, well, she slept with a guy. I'm still going to go after her. But at the same time, like, they weren't dating. Like, this is a TV show. It's Are You the One? There's alcohol involved. He's cheated on 18 girls before this. Like, I don't know. I'm really like, I think she's a sweet girl, but I think she just made a mistake the first night. Like you said, I'm not gonna get too crazy about the sex she had the first night. Look, it's happened before.
My favorite thing that Catherine gave us is the line, don't wink at me in the long run. I mean, it's like this, the drunkest conversation. Like, why do you hate me? Don't wink at me in the long run. Like, she just wanted Ozzy to kiss her, basically. Mm. She was drunk. Like, she was on a mission.
Yep.
What I will say is I was a little grossed out by the public aspect of it, where Mike wanted to move it to the Boom Boom Room and she was like, no. And it did seem like she was saying no only because she like wanted Ozzy to see.
Yeah.
Which was, it was a little strange behavior to me. And I kind of felt bad. It was like kind of a, like, just like using Mike there. Like, I feel like if a guy had done that to a girl, we might be having a different conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Lean, though, wants to know, first ever hookup on night one.
Oh, is it?
Question mark.
Is it? I honestly, for some reason, I thought there were hookups on night one before. I'm sure there were if we didn't see them, but like, that didn't fit into the storyline. But were there any?
I don't know why, like, Jess and Leighton are coming to mind.
Maybe.
But I don't know if that's just because they're like very insane.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's like you, like, it didn't strike me as surprising that this happened just because it was the first night. I feel like it has happened. I don't know. Brandon and Christina were an early match. I don't know. I'm trying to think. But that's the fun of Are You the One, is we don't have to know the history.
There's no live feeds.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, Ozzy did handle it well. I do feel like he doesn't need to accept, if he feels like this was a violation, he doesn't need to accept that just because he's done it to people in the past. But he does have a good point that he like does need to maybe have his heart broken to kind of shape up. And what you were saying, I think, is dead on. Zach Longo was on the podcast once and we asked him, like, was it weird when Hannah was with Chuck and now Hannah was with you? And he was like, honestly, like, we're on the show for like, your relationship with someone was like 3 days long. It's not awkward then to see them. And I think on the show, they obviously make us want to buy into it and feel like it was like a huge betrayal, but Ozzy probably wasn't sweating it.
Yeah, no, you're probably right, especially with how short things were. And, like, I think it was really weird, like you mentioned, that it was in front of everyone and they had that weird shot of him, like, putting his head back and enjoying it in, like, this weird state. And it just kind of makes you a little nauseous to, like, watch. But, yeah, I guess it's MTV definitely hyping up a storyline that probably at the end of the day wasn't too big of a deal, because she was going to pick Ozzy at the matching ceremony. Well, I'm sure, well, I guess you said we'll get to that. And he seemed fine with that. So I don't think there was really a lot of love lost when Mike and Catherine did not go to the Boom Boom Room.
I do also have a lot of respect for how Mike handled it, at least how we saw. Like, we've seen a lot of people do a lot of shitty stuff to each other after they've hooked up. And for Mike, when asked about this at the matchup, to say, I forget what he said exactly, but he said something like, I regret the way that it happened. Yeah. Like, he's not like, oh, I regret, that was a mistake. Like, all of that, which would make her feel bad or make him feel bad. Like, I feel like they did for Ari the One handle it like adults, which was
shocking.
Maybe refreshing. Yeah. Not shocking, but also not refreshing and not adult behavior. I'm going to do this like painful transition I don't want to make to talking about Michael.
Oh,
let's have a conversation
God.
About Michael.
He's the only human being in the world that when a girl says I had open heart surgery could make a joke about a vagina. Like, it was the most disgusting and like weird thing I've ever seen. And like, I feel like the kiss on Gianna was very forced and uncomfortable. But Michael, he comes across with this weird car salesman like game. I think it was the Taylor, right, that he was talking to originally.
Yeah.
And he was spitting this game, and it was really cringy to watch. And like, I understand why it would work and why it comes across as charming, but to me it was just really repulsive. And they already had a bad taste in my mouth with Michael. And then as the show goes on, he, I don't know, like, not that he did better or worse, but I feel like he definitely stayed in that same lane where it's like, okay, like, I'm not really gonna be able to root for this guy much.
I feel like MTV is personally testing me, because now two seasons in a row, we have like someone who appears to be a representation of the Jewish people on MTV dating shows, which you don't get a lot.
Yeah.
And he's got this giant chai necklace, which is like a Hebrew symbol. And I don't know that he's Jewish, because and I'm making myself uncomfortable here. This is like such a test for me, because he's representing like every Jewish stereotype from guy from Florida that I don't want to see portrayed on television. But at the same time, all I can think of is, how is this 6'6 dude Jewish? So I'm putting out these stereotypes. They're giving it back. It's this whole like I'm having a complete existential crisis about it. But I had this with Asaf, and now I'm dealing with Mike. I bring me Asaf every day of the week over Mike here.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, Asaf, I'm glad he somehow worked his way into the conversation on this episode, because just for the character that he was and will always be remembered for. But oh my God, Mike. And then like, as time goes on, he goes to Gian and like was making jokes like, oh, well, where, you want to marry me already? And then he throws that little hissy fit after she goes on a date and was like, I was cheated on. So it's not okay that you went on this date or kissed this guy. And like, does he not understand the concept of the show? Like, what's supposed to happen, that people go on dates with other people? Like, has he not watched Are You the One before?
Which is also like, he was just running the same tired lines on Taylor. I imagine he was doing it on other girls before Gianna. And speaking of the real world, it was very Shades of Pete to me, that blow up he had with Gianna.
Yeah.
And I did not like Pete. What I also didn't like, because I'm just always going to bring this back to Mike's high, because I like can't get over it. But he says like, it right before he says the holes line, which I mean, blasphemy. He first says, I was accepted to medical school, which is like the worst brag I've ever heard. Like, I got in and didn't go. Like, I wrote essays and then was like, nah.
Yeah. Oh,
like, what is that? And it worked, because she, like, while I agree with you, I thought the kiss was like disgusting and horrible, and he grabbed her by like the chin.
Yeah.
It was so strange. She liked him, and she like talked on the after show like she was into him. And so how the hell is that going to work on you, Gianna? Please.
Oh my God. And yeah, she was Gianna. That's where I feel like the downward spiral began, when she started talking to Mike, and she was like, I do have a wandering eye. And like, he's like this 6'6 guy who comes at you with this, and I think it's like really corny game. And he's bragging about his half medical school, like that he got in, but like we all know that he didn't go to pursue probably a career in modeling or boogie boarding or something ridiculous. And I don't know. And then he does, like, I feel like at the end of the episode, the only reason people might be on Mike's side is because how Gianna like really went downhill. But I don't know. I'm really not a fan of Mike. And I don't, like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it could change. But I don't see how that's possible.
A couple things to pull from his bio. Again, with the Jewish stereotypes here, his first line, Michael is a catch and his mom certainly isn't the only one who thinks so. Like, why I gotta bring mom into this? And then it also mentions that he only wants the girls he can have, which totally rings true when he goes after, like, the one girl who's, like, sort of involved, has a date later.
Exactly. And he also said that he was also an underdog story, of course, because did he say he was a fat kid once? I feel like he said those words. And then he blossomed into a beautiful dove, or so he used some kind of bird comparison, but I don't know. And he said he's tall, dark, and handsome, but there's nothing dark about him. He's like he's so white, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I think all he has really is height in that equation. But quickly, just to touch on, we got a little bit of Alicia and Andre, Alicia and Drake, talking about trust issues, exchanging stories about their broken hearts. And the only thing is, like, I don't want this episode one. Like, I appreciated their conversation and thought maybe they have a genuine connection, but, like, this was a little too real for me for episode one of Are You the One?
No, I understand what you're saying. Like, it was too episode, like, seven, like, to really bring it on episode one, where they, like, and who knows? Because you say it is episode one. We don't know if this is anything real. This could be just a passing conversation. Obviously, they showed us for a reason. But, like, I really don't know what to believe episode one, because I feel like everything that happens episode one doesn't matter at the end of the show. Like, that's what I learned from watching Are You the One for the first time, that everything that happened episode one doesn't really turn into anything. And maybe there's circumstances that it has. Like, for the most part, it's really just like let's build these storylines that are all going to explode in our faces.
The one thing I do want to ask, and I'm going to embarrass myself here, but again, I feel like I'm just among friends with the listeners of this podcast, just the inner circle here. So Andre asks if Alicia's ex-boyfriend was a, and pardon the expression, fuck boy. And this phrase is thrown around all the time. I believe I've used it, I'm sure. I may have aged out, because I missed when we, like, defined this term. I just remember it hitting like popular use. Can you define once and for all what that is?
Okay, well, in my own words, like, and this is what I would look at it, a fuckboy as, is someone who is fine with cheating on their girlfriend, talks to a lot of different girls, is a stereotypical douchebag, possibly a DJ. Like, that's still, we don't know. DJ, rapper, one of those occupations. Like, they definitely, if they're 30 and they 30 plus, live at home, that's very likely. But I feel like a fuckboy doesn't have a lot going on for them, and they're easy to play girls and kind of pull the heartstrings and think they're a player, but more just a douche.
Okay, we're doing the Lord's work here, really.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
The song No Scrubs comes to mind.
Yes.
Is there a difference between a fuckboy and a scrub?
I think they're very similar. Just the time zones they're a little off. But, like, if this was when was No Scrubs? Was that the early 2000s?
No idea. Okay. I think it was, like, before my time.
Yeah, so anywhere from the 90s, 2000s, a fuckboy is what a scrub was then.
All right, perfect. See, we've really evolved. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm young. I'm cool.
Yes.
All right. not so cool. The dates. I'm just going to come out and say it. I feel like I've alluded to it. Maybe I've come out and say it before. I don't usually hold back. I hate the dates on Are You the One. They're so boring. Like, not the activities. Like, nothing happens on these friggin' dates.
Yeah. No, it was a really cool date, like, if you were there. But, like, watching it on TV and seeing, like, these couples that, like, two of them. Well, no, actually, Joey and Carolina were hitting off a little bit, but, like, we really didn't learn anything new from the dates. Like, that we learned that Joey never cheated before. Carolina said, oh, that's cool. Gianna said she like was flirting with Hayden a little bit. Like, we really didn't learn much that we didn't know before. And, like, there's not a lot of substance to the dates on Are You the One?
Yeah, the couple of highlights for me, other than the ones you mentioned, is, well, the whole camo pants debacle began before the date, and she says she doesn't want a country boy. I can relate to that. Respect, fine.
Yeah.
What bothers me is the first line in Gianna's bio is, don't let this sweet country tomboy fool you. So she's country? She's just, you know, self-hating country girl?
Yeah, she is country-ist, like, if that was a derogatory way to describe her. But I want to ask you, how do you feel about Hayden? Like, do you like him? Like, I feel like he's, like, a nice guy.
Yeah, I feel bad for Hayden here because and I get you, like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I was complaining like you that these girls were so mean to the guys they got matched up with, except for Gianna. But then Gianna is saying to the camera, like, or, you know, I don't want a country boy. Oh, yeah. My God, he's wearing this. I don't like him. I'm hooking up with Mike. And then on the date, she acts like they have a chance. So I feel bad for Hayden in this situation, but I can't really blame Gianna here. His bio is just like so adorable and sad. It's like he has zero game. He's so awkward and confused. If he's texting a guy, he has to check with his buddies to make sure she's interested. He wants kids sooner than later, but hard because he can't make the first move. Like, oh my God, the tragedy. I mean, he's a gorgeous guy, but I feel bad for him overall.
No, he is a very, like, the weirdest part, he's a very good looking guy, but like, I guess it really comes down to him having absolutely no game. And hopefully, like, it is weird that they would cast someone with no game, because I feel like everyone in Are You the One has all these pickup lines and all, and ready to say anything to any girl. So maybe it'll be fun to watch him do something and grow in the game category. But hopefully, like, he grows in the game category to meet the one girl and not like Mike, who will grow in the game category to meet like 9 of the 11 girls in the house.
Meet. I like that. So Joey and Carolina, as you mentioned, like, stuff did happen between them, and I was really rooting for them at the end of this. Like, he won me over, he won her over, despite his Oakleys. Like, I was really happy about it, but there was like a little bit of an Oedipus thing happening with, like, I want to treat someone the way I want my mom to be treated. And,
I get the
sentiment. But I didn't love that.
And Gianna also said, she was like, you know, they say date your dad or whatever, and like, my dad's 6'5". It's like, why does everyone keep saying this? Like, wouldn't you feel weird dating someone like your parents, like similar to your parents? Like, I don't know. I feel like that's just such a weird way to go about dating.
I would certainly feel weird if someone said that to me on a date.
Imagine that would you're be like my mom.
Oh, gross. Then I think we get to what I think is the twist of the night for me. I'm not sure how you're going to feel about it. I'm interested to hear. With the truth booth trade, ooh, new definition of TBT, where if you give up seeing the result of the truth booth, Ryan will personally put $150,000 back into the prize pot. And the wrinkle here is that couple can never be put back into the truth booth.
Yeah, and we, which is just like a little, like, we know that money is not coming out of Ryan's pocket, because there's no way he has more than $150,000 in his bank account. I just want to make sure everyone knows that. But
his hair has improved, so where do you think that comes from? That's hair, that's money hair.
I found out today that he was on an episode of Law and Order once, so, like, that's pretty cool.
If you start following the Are You the One people on Twitter, including Ryan, you will get information about Ryan that you never wanted.
Oh, God. How old is he? He could be anywhere from 21 to 40.
That's like the story of everyone in my life. Tell me what you think about the twist. I'll look up his age.
Okay. I enjoy that Are You the One is going with all these twisty twists, like, of the year. Like, they're bringing out a lot this season. I do like this twist. I think it adds another layer of strategy to it. And for anyone who comes from other shows, like even The Challenge or Big Brother or Survivor, I enjoy strategy. And I do like how there was conflicting opinions in the house. I hope, now I'm not sure if this was clear, maybe I'm way off. Is this going to happen every match ceremony? Like, is this a consistent twist?
That was my impression.
Okay, cool. Well, if I were them, I was with, I believe, Derek. It was Derek who was the one who was very adamant about them going with the money and not putting them in the truth booth. I think if there was a week to do it, or any weeks to do it, the first few weeks you have to take the money, because the connections are so new and everything is happening so quick. You really don't know who vibes with the other person and if there's any true connections going on there. So I disagreed with the house. I think they should have taken the money last night. And like Derek said, like, of course they're not a match. They knew each other for 60 seconds before they were going on that first date. And yes, they hit it off, but so did Shanley and Chris T, and we see how that ended up. But so how do you feel about the twist?
I agree with you about liking to see this. I like to see the strategy, yeah. And I think Are You the One kind of fails at pushing that to the forefront, and this was a major move. I think that will make the strategy more important. It also, I think, will make the show more interesting, because right now, like, we know how the show moves along. They go to the truth booth, they stretch it out forever,
yeah,
and then they say no match or whatever.
Exactly.
And it's very little payoff. This, I think, makes it a lot more interesting, adds another level of strategy. We have to see the conversation, you know, in the forefront of the show. I agree completely that they should have taken the money at this point, but I understand the instinct not to, especially with the added 11, or I guess the added two people.
Yeah.
The 11th couple. And it's just kind of like, you don't want to amass this prize pot and then not get the money. And the truth booths are usually so important. I do think, well, Stephen Lane wants to know if we think we'll ever see them take the truth booth trade. He said he thinks we would see it if there was a blackout. And I think we'll talk about the money thing, but they'd obviously want to move their money up then. I also kind of think there are, at least last season, there were some really random couples that won dates and that would never be a match. I think, who did Julia go out with? Like, Cam, maybe?
Yeah, she went out with Cam. Of course, we have the John and Julia saga, which I'm really sad that I didn't get to cover. She did go on a date with Gio. I believe he at one point took her on a date. I think it was like on a boat, or no, maybe she was with John and Gio was trying to speak game. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah,
but there was a
there
lot
are just
of,
sometimes
yes.
where you end up with like three couples and it's like, oh, none of these people are matches.
Exactly.
Like, I definitely do think we'll see it at least once.
No, of course. And maybe like if they wanted to do that, they would do where if they're picking partners for a challenge, they would all pick somebody really, really random just so they could kind of set up and not have anyone waver. But like it is going to be very difficult to get 22 people to all or even like half and half to kind of agree on going with the trade, because last night it seemed like they were all pretty against it. So like they might just keep that mindset and say, you know what, like at least we know that Hayden and Gianna aren't a match and we're going to go moving forward. We're going to go with that. So I don't know. You really don't know what to expect. I hope that they at least try it once.
Yeah, and I'm just like brain farted completely. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say on Are You the One Math, also they have like he did like a cost analysis based on the odds of like how much for going it costs, and I think it's like only worth it if they give you like $190,000+. But I couldn't even do math enough to just decipher what he was saying. So
I'm not great with math either. I had to take it when I first got to college. I had to take another algebra course because I didn't do so well, I guess, there was like a pretest to get placed into college. And I was like in like the really slow math class to start my college career. So math is not my talent as well.
Speaking of math, Ryan is 36 years old, which was my instinct, and that's terrifying that I knew how old he was. I hate myself for that.
He does look good for his age. Like he looks good for 36.
No, definitely agree. So this was a surprising or unsurprising no match. And then there's no real anything after it. A couple of people were mad at Gianna because she didn't like tell the house that she didn't think they were a match. Mm. But in fairness to Gianna, she had no idea that they were going to be offered to take this truth booth buyout.
Yeah. Exactly. She like, they're like, oh, well, why didn't you tell us before this? Of course, like, especially if she does go to the honeymoon suite with Hayden, she doesn't want it floating around that she was having her doubts. You know, like, I understand why she wouldn't make that clear to the public. And then it gets back to this poor good old country boy and he's all sad. Like, I understand why she wouldn't want to spread that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then we get a little bit of a scene between Cam and Edward, and I have Cam. Is her name Kim or Cam?
Why did
I?
You know, you're good. It's Cam.
Okay, perfect. And all I could do, I think they had some genuine connection, but all I could focus on was what color is Cam's hair. And I had three boys in the room with me, and I asked them, "I'm curious to know what color her hair is to you."
I'm gonna say like, pink? I don't know. I don't even pink. Like, I just, it's one of those things where like you're looking back on it and like I see like four different colors in my head. Like it could be purple, it could be really light pink, it could be in the middle of both of those. So like I really do you know like the correct answer? Is there a correct answer?
No, I think this is 2017's The Dress. Black and blue or gold and whatever.
Yes.
Because answers I got were silver or gray or lavender, which I think is where you're kind of falling on the
lavender.
Pink side.
I'm in the lavender team.
Biggest mystery of Are You the One? Please let me know what color you think Cam's hair is. Cam, if you're listening, let me know what color your hair is. I think it looks good. I'm just confused.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's okay to be confused about that. And she also did have a really great quote. She said, "You'll be the man that I'll tell you to be." And that was just one of my favorite things anyone's ever said on this show. And he looked at it like, "I'll be the man you'll tell me to be." Like, that is whether it's a girl or a guy, if anyone ever says that to you, I think you run away from that relationship.
One thing about the two of them is I pulled from Edward's bio is it says Edward is flirty and carries himself with a sexual confidence.
How do you carry yourself with a sexual confidence? Like, just day to day, he just like exudes. Maybe it's the mesh shirt.
You know,
exudes like
a
sexual
shirt.
Confidence.
It's got like, I guess like you walk around naked. Maybe like, I don't know how else you'd really be able to exude sexual confidence. Like, I don't know. Maybe maybe if we ever get into the Are You the One house, we'll like understand it better. Like, I don't know. I'm really at a loss for words with Edward's bio here.
Then the whole Mike Gianna thing happens. We kind of touched on that. Anything else before we get to the matchup ceremony that stuck out to you from the episode?
I guess I'm really shocked that Mike was like really nervous about like, getting cheated on again, because I feel like just stereotypically comes across as a guy who would cheat a lot, and like maybe that's me just judging, which it definitely is, and I'm admitting that. But
that's what you're here to do.
Yeah, of course. And but he was really sad that she like kissed another guy, and like, I understand if it was the middle of the season or like an Ethan Amber situation where you find out and like it happened, but like he had to know, okay, she's going on a date with this guy that she did have a connection with, but there's also a chance we didn't see a lot of Mike Gianna moments that were a little deeper. So like it's all thanks to good old MTV editing that we'll never know who was really right in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. I just like feel like we're going to see a lot more of this situation.
Yes.
Play out in the coming episodes, which I don't know if I'm excited or not about it, but
a little nauseous maybe.
The one thing I do want to say while we're talking about judging is I didn't give my annual disclaimer for we don't know these people. I'm sure they're great people. Their characters on television. Mm. Don't yell at us.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You yell at me. I'll be yelled at. I don't care. Especially if you're on the show. I think it'd be a really cool goal to get in a fight with one of the cast members before like this is all said and done. So I hope somebody watches. And like,
been there.
Who have you gotten to fight with? I'm new to all of this.
Let's see. I think I was. I don't. So I know Hannah last season. Her sister like came at me, and Hannah like sent me a very nice message about it. And then, which I don't play. Like, look, I totally get where they're coming from. And if like my brother or friend was like on this show, like I totally get. I wouldn't want to listen to like two assholes at the microphone
it. I understand.
But at the end of the day, like, we're just adding value, right? Like, people watch the show, people listen to the podcast. Like, it's all in fun.
I got into a
thing with Layton. Layton, though, had a sense of humor about it, but he was definitely coming for me. Chelsea blocked me, and I don't know why. I don't think I've ever tweeted at her. I was only, like, saying good things on the show. And then Hannah famously, Brian said something that she's like a yawn in the preview podcast that he expected her to be like boring and a yawn. And Hannah tweeted, like subtweeted him and just wrote yawn that bitch.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if it's yawn that bitch, like he's a bitch, or yawn that bitch.
I honestly would not be able to help you in that situation. I think I'm especially with grammar and yawn, and there's no way I'm gonna be able to weigh in. If there's anyone that I would like to not like me, it'd be Steven from last season. Like, I just don't like Steven. I don't like him on the show. And then after the show, I'm not a big fan of his hair choice. So like, if there is anyone to come at me, like, I'd prefer it to be him just because I'm already not a fan.
Yeah, but for the most part, we have a history of like people having a really good sense of humor about it. So we shall see.
Nice. That's good.
All right, so we talked about the All Black Everything matchup ceremony that we loved, or I loved. I want to know why Ryan didn't get the memo, because his like little polka dot shirt really ruined the whole effect.
Really messed things up, Ryan, and it's probably because he's like old and 36 now, so he probably doesn't understand what the kids are dressing like nowadays.
At least he probably knows what a fuckboy is, though. He has that over me.
He definitely does.
Question that we get the third strategic bomb of the night, that instead of $250,000, quarter of the prize pot, going out the window for a blackout. Now the prize will be cut in half. What do you make of this?
I think it's MTV realizing, okay, we gave away a lot of money these past few seasons. In the last two seasons, they had blackouts. So let's try to capitalize on this and take away a little more money.
Were there two blackouts last season?
No, well, there's one on three and one on four. That's what it was.
Okay.
There's only one last season, but
yeah. Right. So we've never gotten to this point. I think they probably want to add some drama. Like,
yeah.
The idea that they would get a blackout and then the next every episode after that, they would say, like, if you black out, you lose everything. I think they want to balance out potentially. I think there definitely is going to be a blackout, I would guess. Mm-hmm. And they don't want the prize pot to, like, if they forego, especially if they forego truth booths, they're more likely to get blackouts. So if they add money, they're more likely to lose it. On the back end, I don't know math. That just sounds right to me.
No, it does. It's right. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, but I don't think it's going to really matter.
Mm-hmm. I guess like it is kind of just make the stakes seem a lot higher and everyone be like, wow, like it's getting crazy. But like at the end of the day, it probably won't affect things too much, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So this matchup got heated. Just to go through, Cam picks Edward. We see the what will become iconic mesh shirt. Yes. I used to have a debate, or I used to take a firm stance on Layton once wore, maybe more than once, a vest, no shirt. Or suit, I'm sorry, suit jacket, no shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he even wore a vest, no shirt. Either way, I didn't like it. This mesh shirt, best at all. This mesh shirt was horrible. What the hell was that?
It was like, I kept looking at him like, is that like, can you see through? And then I realized, I'm like, this is a mesh shirt. Like, what is, and he's like, I don't understand the thought process behind it. Like, you know what? Like, I guess maybe it's like, let's make a big splash. Let's get people talking. But I don't think he realized like that this is not the best look to start off with. Cause now, you know, we're always going to remember Edward for the mesh shirt. He could cure any disease and we're going to remember Edward for that mesh shirt.
I totally agree. This will never be forgotten.
No.
Unless you are like a backup dancer.
Yes.
You should never be wearing a mesh shirt. Agreed. And even then, I just quit your job.
Exactly.
Just don't put it on.
I agree.
Okay, so Taylor picks Tyler, I think.
Yes.
I had to go back and look. I missed so many of these names.
You're right. Yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
Carrie, who is Carrie, picks Mike. Like, I've never seen her before in my life.
I honestly don't know who she is. Like, I'm looking at my notes. I have no clue who she is. We are the worst RE1 podcasters ever.
No, we're accurate. We're representing the people. Because you know
true.
What I did? I pulled her bio because I was like, who the hell is her? Who the hell is her? Who the hell is she? She works in fashion and she's well on her way to becoming a doctor too. Okay.
Of course she is. Just like Michael was.
Yeah. So, all right. So maybe we'll see more from her coming up. Cassandra picks Jalen, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina picks Joey. So that's, they're moving on that.
Yeah.
Tyranny, is that how I pronounce
yeah,
this? Picks Osvaldo.
The two weird names.
One thing I want to point out about Tyranny, because we didn't really see her at all. Her bio, just to point out, where is it? Oh, I pulled it. I think her bio says she wants to be a judge.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yes, she has aspirations of becoming a judge. And I got on Victoria last season because it was the summer before I went to law school. It was the summer before she was filming. So it was airing the summer before she went to law school at like a really good school. And I was like, what the hell is she doing in Are You the One? I mean, I even think like podcasting about this show could potentially harm my career. You are not going to become a judge after being on this show. I'm sorry, Tyranny. It's not going to happen for you.
No, it's. She doesn't realize, I guess, well, they have to realize what dirt is going to be aired, like in the crazy things they're going to do. That's going to cause such issues. But hey, you know what? If you want to be an Instagram model and instead of a good career like a judge, you go for it.
Here's the big story of the night when Gianna picks Ozzy. People have questions about this. My question was, who told Gianna that that lace choker looked good with her mesh dress? That was tragic.
Agreed. I'm not, like I said, I'm not crazy with fashion, especially like female fashion. Like I would not call myself an expert, but I think we can all agree that that wasn't the hottest look in the book.
But Sam Durst has maybe a more relevant question than I do, which is, what do you think of Gianna picking Ozzy at the matchup ceremony?
Okay. I think all she had to do, like, this is a team sport, and I feel like she was selfish because she was like, well, I don't want to reward Michael for what he did. I was crying all night. Like, you have to know that. You can't be a jerk like that. And if she talked to the girls and said, look, I'm upset with Michael, A, they could have they probably talked her off the ledge and said, look, go pick Michael. It's for the team. You could make him know that, make it very known that you're pissed at him. Or B, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe picking Ozzy is a good choice. Like, and we could see if you guys are potentially a match. But I feel like she just kept it to herself and like wanted to drop this bomb on everyone. And that's where she kind of lost the love from her fellow castmates.
Yeah, this is already starting one of the things that bothers me the most on Are You the One, which is when people pick at the matchup ceremony to like either show someone that they really like them, so they'll like fuck up the whole strategy
yeah.
part of it to be like, no, I wanted to sit next to them for the 1 hour we're at this matchup ceremony, like that matters. Or I'm not picking them because I'm playing hard to get and I'm teaching them a lesson. And it's like, for the sake of the game, you screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah,
and it's like, exactly. Whatever justification you have, I get it. You want to like act like you have self-respect. I mean, she has self-respect. I just mean in that moment, like clearly she's going to go down the rabbit hole again with Mike. We're going to see some back and forth with them. So to act like you're not going to sit next to him because he didn't come up and apologize to you, but yet you're probably going to hook up with him next episode. You know what I mean? It's like, why screw up this whole game for, you know,
it's like attention, you know? Yeah, exactly. It's like she, like you said, if she was like, screw it, I'm done with him, I'm not talking to him ever again, and she really like didn't do it, I'd be like, okay, you know what, she made her decision, she made her bed and she laid in it. But now she's 98% chance of her hooking up with him next episode, and we're even probably sooner. They probably did it right after the ceremony, after they talked. But it's just people flip-flopping, and like, what would are you the one without flip-floppers, you know? We need them.
Definitely. My reaction though was I was surprised how heated they all got night one. Like, I agree it was stupid, but we've seen way worse moves in Are You the One history. I didn't even know who was yelling at whom, who was saying what. There were physical threats. Like, did you feel like this reaction was justified?
What was the quote that if I go home broke, I'm going to break that face? Alicia said that. And I was like, oh, holy moly. And I think Derek actually was like, all right, everyone, like, it's fine. Like, calm down. Like, before it got heated. I think it's people, the cameras being there, everyone, it's the first matching ceremony. So they're all like really into it. They all obviously coordinated. They're close. So they're excited. And she pulls this little stunt and they took their chance and they flipped down. And I think of course the cameras weigh in a lot on why people get crazy on TV, because they want people to see them. They want to make an impression. But I think it was a little like over the top, even though the logic was justified. It was just a little too crazy for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There's a little bit of a justification in that it's TV. There's excitement. It's the first night. I'm sure they're drunk. I'm sure they're exhausted, whatever. Yeah. But I mean, I got crazy. So I can't wait to see where the rest of the season goes. What got me crazy is the next pick, when Hannah picks Michael and Michael gets asked about it. And he's like, oh, I'm not really phased. I see potential with Hannah. I'm like, oh, screw you, Michael. Yeah. Like, I was shouting at the TV at that part. Like, that's what pissed me off, is like his bullshit. Like, everything he says to me is just complete bullshit.
Yep. And he's I feel like that's not gonna stop this whole show. Like, we're gonna, and especially with him on the aftermatch, not the after show, it's called the aftermatch. You could just tell, like, he's gonna keep this up. He'll be one of the many villains. I already see some similarities with him and John from last season. They're both tall, both a little crazy. So, you know what, let's see how the Michael story plays itself out. I just have a strong feeling that he's not gonna walk away with love here.
I can't imagine why you'd say that. That's so hurtful.
I know.
Alicia picks Andre, and I don't know if this, I think they should have said Andre and Alicia exude sexual confidence, because the only thing I wrote in my notes about this was someone dump a bucket of cold water on Andre. Like, I don't know if that was just me reading into it, but it seemed like things were really heating up at that handprint ceremony.
Yeah, they seemed really vibing. Like, and I guess, like, with when you see something like this, they could either go one of two ways, where they could either like really get involved with them and have this big storyline, or we're just gonna see like a little bit every episode where they kind of did this show. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
It kind of reminded me of Dre and Ashley from season one, where like,
yes,
they hit it off, they were hooking up. We never really saw them.
Yep.
Like, they were just kind of like a side story, and then they were like not a match, and it was like, okay, whatever.
Yep.
And we just went back into the house.
And then the last night that he hooked up with Simone, and that like ruined things with him and Ashley. So like, it was one of the like last season with Tyler, like, you didn't see much of him. Like, with, I guess with 22 people, you have to, like, we just have to expect that there's going to be people we barely hear from, because they're just not a part of the grand scheme of things in the grand storyline.
And then Catherine picked Derek, and like you said before, just like so many bad hats, so little time. Shannon and Hayden were matched together. I don't know who Shannon is. Hope to see more of her soon.
I feel like you're making up names when you bring some of these people up. I feel like you're just messing with me. Like, yeah, Hannah, Shannon. Like, I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are.
So that was all 10 matches. We get two beams, and Kat wants to know, who do you think is a perfect match on the show, and who are some of your favorites from the season? So first, who do you think are the two beams?
Oh my god!
Based on almost nothing.
Okay, I'm based off of nothing. I'm gonna say Taylor and Tyler, because their names are similar. That's obviously the first choice. And then Cam and Edward, because she said, I'll tell you, you have to be the man I want you to be, and he still was okay with being matched with her. So there's obviously some chemistry there. That's who I'm going with.
I like those picks. I think alliteration is a strong measurement to use. I'm voting for Carolina and Joey. I like this story. Yep. I always get sucked in. You're totally right. The first episode never means anything except for like Michaela and Cameron.
Yeah,
but,
forgot about them.
Carolina and Joey, to me, like, I'm rooting for this love story. I'm in it. I always get involved and invested in these early couples, and they always fall apart, but who cares? And I don't even know that I have a second pick. I intend to pick, like, Hannah and Michael, because I just, like, think things always work out for, like, that kind of guy. But I'm with you on Cam and Edward, though. I think that's like perfect logic of he didn't run from Cam's like very aggressive personality. Nope. And I think that's a good observation there.
I agree. And I think she said like he's never been with an alpha before. And she is definitely an alpha. Like she's not afraid to go. And she also has tendencies where I feel like you could call her a fuck girl because she she has a rotation, which like is insane to me that any guy would ever be okay with their significant other having a rotation, but like maybe they could like Edward could balance her out because with that mesh shirt, you know, he's not afraid to like tell her how he feels.
Yeah, no, I mean the mesh shirt, it's like a metaphor. Like he's open to her,
but not to a rotation.
Not to a rotation. There are limits. The holes are only so big.
Michael would know.
Yeah, right. So DC Cueva asks us, what do you think is the biggest of the three game-changing twists, or do you think it's all of them? She gave you an out there. That was easy.
No, I honestly do think it's the trade. I think the potential to make more money but also lose like understanding of what's going on and who the perfect matches are. I think that's probably the biggest twist, and it's very new and I didn't see it coming. And maybe I'm not sure if there was anything in the interviews before the show or any articles that included it, but I didn't expect that, so I was excited when I saw that. So I'm gonna go with the trade. Truth Booth trade.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be the one that's going to affect the show the most, like, I'm just going to say day to day, episode to episode.
Yeah.
I really do think they'll build on each other. Like, the 11 people on each, 11, I keep saying 11 people, the 22 people, the two extra people, that kind of sets it up a notch just from the start, and then we're probably never going to think about that again. But that is going to make it more difficult. And then the Truth Booth, yes, is, like, the most, I think, going to have the most impact on the game. But I do think if they do black out, we will see the Truth Booth money being more and more coveted and may make that more and more interesting as the game goes on. So I'm excited. I think it's a lot to throw at us. It's a lot to change, but I like that Are You the One's not afraid to just try things.
You know, they're definitely, Are You the One producers are like, okay, like they started this show a few years back, but they're just going balls to the wall here. And I'm excited to see what's to come this season, what's to come on other potential spinoff shows, and all things Are You the One.
Speaking of all things Are You the One, AJ on Twitter wants to know your thoughts about the Are You the One power couple spinoff show that is in the works.
Okay, I'm not going to give any spoilers to, like, things I've seen and, like, the couples, because I know, like, people can get upset with that. But I'm more concerned with the cast. As long as the cast is strong and has a few of these big personalities, no matter – is there any specific premise of this show? Like, is it going to be, like, the challenge with just Are You the One couples? Or is it something completely new? Like, do we know anything along those lines?
The way it sounds like a challenge, but I can't imagine it's like the same as
exactly,
the challenge,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the format is, but it would be strange to have Are You the One people on the challenge and then make its own challenge.
Yeah, it is weird that like obviously the only reason I even started watching Are You the One is because they brought some of the guys and the girls in the challenge. So, and I obviously they're not going to bring real world people on this show because it's about being a perfect match. So how many seasons can they really have of this with there only being five? Of course, there's always new people, but like there isn't a lot to choose from. Like there's not this crazy pool of people, but no matter what, I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be really fun, and anything challenge real worlds, Are You the One related, I'm in for.
Speaking of which, what did you think of this season of the Real World?
Okay, I liked it better than Vegas. There were a lot of people. Last season, I really just didn't like the third time in Vegas. I don't know. I didn't like the characters. I thought wasn't a fan of it. I liked the season because there was a lot of drama with like eight people being kicked out or leaving the show. There has to be drama. I actually really enjoyed the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people were turned off to how many people were going to be in the house. But what I liked about this twist, as opposed to like Go Big or Go Home, was the producers didn't control it. They didn't, or with even skeletons, like they didn't decide when to drop people in. Like once they got dropped in, it was the real world. And exactly. We didn't hear everyone's storylines all the time. So it didn't feel like they were trying to tell us like 14 people's stories or whatever. They also, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people got kicked out. So it really didn't feel like there were that many people for that long. And in general, like I thought it was really strong casting. There were not everyone was, you know, a home run. But I do think a lot of the people I really liked, and I liked hearing about their stories, and I enjoyed it. So,
no, I agree. I thought it was, especially like, I feel like a lot of people have been losing interest with the real world just based on ratings. But like, I don't know, this seemed like a very typical real world season, and I really enjoyed it.
Just to cover a couple things from the after match. Yeah, as you mentioned, it's after match, which Terrence had some trouble with because he called, yeah. Are you the one? Are you the match?
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit, but he did good.
This was another thing. I mean, what an upgrade from like the Facebook Lives they were doing last year or last season.
It was so awkward too. Like they were, it was like six of them and like five guys and like, I think it was Tori and it was just really, not even Tori. I don't even know who it was. I know there was one girl and they were just like, you didn't get everyone's story and it was just very uncomfortable to sit through.
I don't love like the world's fascination now with these after shows immediately after the episode in favor of a reunion. But if they're going to do it, at least really do it. And they've seemed to commit to it. I don't know why Simone was there. I don't know why MTV loves having Simone around. Like, what is she doing there?
Well, she did move to LA after Are You the One. She's one of those. Like, I put them in the special category, the people who move to LA after they're on a reality show because they have no talent, but they want to pursue. It bothers me, but it's also comical. But Simone is, of course, back on our screens. The last time we saw her was on, she was with Thomas on, was it Rivals 3? Was that the last show? Or am I thinking of something? Yeah, right. She was. Yeah, because so we've seen her within the last year. And she is exactly the same, except she's in a relationship. I don't understand why she was brought back. But the weird thing is, I could see if they're saying, okay, let's bring back some of the older people who liked Are You the One, maybe stopped watching. But they had Ethan and Amber on from the first season. So there was really no, I feel like there was no point for Simone.
It's also strange because like I feel like they've used her a lot in these after shows and it's like, I don't know, she must just have like a good relationship with the people, you know, the powers that be. One thing that I noticed on the real world that I didn't notice, or in the real world, on the aftermatch, I didn't notice on the show as much, is that Gianna really looks like Aiyah from the real world Cancun. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes. Wow. I didn't, honestly, they didn't even, and she also gives me a little bit of Jonae vibes. Like, I got that as well. But, like, I understand completely where you're coming from. No, that does mean something to me.
Did you get anything, though, from this aftermatch? I feel like it was more about a relationship advice show and not about the show itself.
The good-looking doctor that had all the tattoos that, of course, we can't get, like, why would we ever get an old-looking doctor when we could have this jacked, hot doctor on the show to tell us about? And the best, he got a question. I was watching with my mom, and he got a question in about long-distance relationships. He goes, well, they are tough. You just have to make sure you use technology a lot. It's like, dude, what did you give there? Like, of course. Like, what do you think? They're not going to talk? They're going to send letters? Like, it was just the most ridiculous. Like, I don't know. He didn't bring much. It really felt like they were just trying to, like, just kind of move the show along and try something new. And at least Terrence J was there.
Yeah. Do you know Terrence J? Because no one I was with knew him.
Oh, I knew. Of course I know Terrence J. What kind of human being would I be if I didn't?
Did you watch, what was it, Coupled?
I did not watch Coupled, but I do know Terrence J.
Good. All good. I think that about does it for the first episode. Any other, like, final thoughts about the show or hopes for the season?
No, I don't. I have no hopes and no final thoughts. And I'm just glad to be alive after the So You Think You Could podcast debacle of 2016.
Well, we're all glad you made it through, hoping for a better 2017 for you and everyone else. This has been so much fun. To the audience, hang tight with us. We will let you know if we're going to do more shows than we think. It's going to be, you know, your drunk aunt. Just think of us drunk by the microphone. If you want to leave us a review, I imagine this is still going to be on the MTV feed because it's an MTV show, but I don't know how things work. So you can subscribe at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can leave us reviews, make Adam feel better for, having been rejected by the internet. What else? Oh, you can follow me at Lash Tweets. And where can they follow you?
Adam Bongo.
And you like do things. You can plug your things.
It's okay. I have a relatively sad life on the internet. So like, if you really want to dig deep and find me, you can. But I'm just excited to talk Are You the One, because this is like 1 hour or an hour and a half every like 3 weeks. That's like, I don't know. That's a big amount of time, you know. So I'm excited for it.
All right. So I think, did I do everything I was supposed to do? This is a new rule for me. I like to be the asshole, not the person like who has to hit the buttons. All right. So we will talk to everyone soon, and I don't have a wrap up. Goodbye.
Bye.